Hare Rama, Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namaste Saraswati Devi Gurvani Pichanani Nibishai Sasani Vali Paschachara Siddharani Mukham Kharati Bhajavam Bhangam Bhangayati Adkri Bhajavam Bhangamande Shigari Siddhana Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam the 10th canto, the 9th chapter, entitled Mother Jasoda Binds Lord Krishna, and the text is number 9, I think, as far as I know. Tam atarastim prasamiksha satvaras Tatavariya Pasarasa Pitavat. Gopyam Vadhavam Nyam Appayovinam. Shaman Pavishtum Tapase Tapase Tamana. Tam Atayasti Prasamiksha Saparas. Tato Valiya Pasara Sarabitavat. Gopyam Vadhavam Nyam Appayovinam. Kshamam Bhavishtam Tapase Vitam Mana. Tam Atayastam Prasamiksha Sattvaras. Tato Vahya Pasasara Bhitavat. Gopyam Vadavam Mayamapayodinam. Kshamam Pravishtum Tapaseritam Mama. There she is.
Seeing her in that attitude,
Satra.
Satra.
Very quickly.
Very quickly.
Tatat. From there. Avariyam. Getting down. Apasasara.
Began to flee.
Bitavat.
As if very much afraid.
Gopi.
Mother Jasoda.
Andadhara.
Began to follow him.
Na.
Not.
Yam.
Unto whom?
Apa.
Failed to reach.
Yoginam.
Of great yogis.
Mystics.
Kshamam.
Who would reach him?
Parishtam.
Trying to enter into the Brahman effulgence or Paramatma.
Tapasa.
With great austerities and penances.
Iritam.
Trying for that purpose.
Manak.
By meditation. Translation. When Lord Sri Krishna saw his mother, stick in hand, he very quickly got down from the top of the mortar and began to flee as if very much afraid. Although yogis tried to capture him as Paramatma by meditation, desiring to enter into the effulgence of the Lord with great austerities and penances, they failed to reach him. But Mother Jasoda, thinking that same personality of Godhead Krishna to be her son, began following Krishna to catch him. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Yogis, mystics, want to catch Krishna as Paramatma, and with great austerities and penances they try to approach him, yet they cannot. Here we see, however, that Krishna is going to be caught by Jasoda and is running away in fear. This illustrates the difference between the bhakta and the yogi. Yogis cannot reach Krishna, but for pure devotees like Mother Jasoda, Krishna is already caught. Krishna was even afraid of Mother Jasoda's stick. This was mentioned by Kunti in her prayers, Bhaya Bhavanaya Shtitasya, Bhagavatam 1.8.31. Krishna is afraid of Mother Jasoda, and yogis are afraid of Krishna. Yogis try to reach Krishna by Jnana Yoga and other yogas, but fail. Yet Mother Jasoda was a woman. Krishna was afraid of her, as clearly described in this verse. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Gautala Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tiyamani Namaste Saraswati Deva Gaurvani Vicharami Nivishesha Sanyavani Paschacha Vesutani Mukam Karati Bachalam Pangam Langayate Grim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Shri Guru Dinatananam So, in reading this pastime, and of course understanding what Dhruva Maharaj Prabhu and others have said already, that we hear this pastime over and over again every year. We dedicate a whole month to this pastime, to this lila, and its glories of chanted in song and in verse over and over and over again. And so when it comes to sit on the Vyasasana and then give a class and talk about the verse, you think, well, you know, we already heard this. As Jiva Maharaj pointed out, as soon as that idea enters your mind, then you're not really able to enter into the lila. But when I read this verse, and I read the lila, and I read the lila in other places as well. And I thought, how amazing it is that we come into this material world basically because we want to be the controller and the enjoyer. That's how we get here, right? We have that desire, and then based on that desire, Krishna's puts things into action. Material energy provides us with a material body, and poof, here we are. And we go through life after life after life after life, trying to be the controller point, trying to be the enjoyer in different forms of life, in different places. Who would suspect that the goal of human life is to worship a little blue boy who's being tied up by a rope by Mother Jasoda? It's almost, it is inconceivable, but it's really hard to understand how we even came to this realization that the goal of life, so many yogis, Prabhupada points out, yogis and mystics and so many other purveyors of the truths that look for years and years and study, even they get degrees and they go and do austerities and penances, and still they can't figure it out. But somehow we're here, and we're studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, and we're hearing this lila and so many other wonderful pastimes of Krishna's babyhood and youth and in his youthful maturity, his pastimes. And understanding those pastimes and removing from our heart this desire to enjoy separately from him is actually the goal of human life. And so Srila Prabhupada came to us, met us, we met him somehow or other by the will of Providence, by our good fortune. We came in contact with Srila Prabhupada, and he inspired within us this desire to perfect this realization, to perfect this worship of Krishna, to aspire to come to the understanding of loving relationship with Krishna, to understand that that loving relationship with Krishna is the crux or the goal of human life. People look for what they want. When you go, let's say you look on Google, where you can find everything in the whole universe, you can find on Google, right? But you only find what you look for. You put a word in the search section, and that's what comes up on your screen. It's not like you go to Google and Google tells you what you want, although it tries in some cases to tell you what you want. But we search for what we're looking for. And for so many millenniums, we've been looking for the wrong thing. And people continue again and again and over. And it seems like even more prevalently, they're looking for the wrong thing. We have this story of Sanatana Goswami and the touchstone, and the person who's looking for wealth because he associates wealth with happiness and he associates wealth with control. And we inspire for those two things. So he goes and he hears Sanatana Goswami's got the most valuable thing. So he goes to him thinking, well, he must have that which will give me gold. And maybe he thought he would get a new Mac and, you know, so many different things. So he goes to Sanatana and he says, I hear you have the most valuable thing. And Sanatana Goswami looks at him and sees that he doesn't know what the most valuable thing is. He doesn't have a clue what the most valuable thing is. So he offers him what he wants. It's in the garbage over there. Go find it. And fortunately, by that association, this person begins to understand what it is he actually should be looking for. He was looking for the wrong thing. I read one story told by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that some man came to him and said, I really would like to speak to you alone. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati arranged for them to have some meeting, but one disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta didn't really want to leave him alone with this guy, so he sat in the back, and they had some chairs over there, and the man didn't know this other person was there. But his big question that he wanted to ask was, have you seen God? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's response was, what difference does it make if I saw God? If I told you I saw God, if I told you I didn't see God, you don't have any clue what God looks like. So how do you know even if I'm telling the truth, if I'm telling not the truth? You won't know the difference. Better, you ask me, how can I understand what God looks like? How can I understand how to find God? That would be a meaningful question. This question you're asking is a waste of time. So the man kept asking again and again, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati kept giving him the same answer again and again. Because actually, everybody in the material world, or many people in the material world, are trying to tell us what God looks like, or what God doesn't look like, or what God is, or what God isn't, or that there is no God, or how we can find happiness, what should we pursue, what should we save our money for, what should we give our lives to. There's so many people trying to offer us various possibilities. And if we don't know what it is we're looking for, then it's very likely that we'll be misled. The original Dhruva from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the young boy of 5 years old, he was looking for something that he thought would give him some kind of satisfaction. He was feeling angry and upset because he had been offended. He thought he was offended by his father and his stepmother. And so he went to the forest to perform austerities. And his austerities were specifically to mitigate that feeling in his heart that I need retribution for this pain that I'm feeling. I need something to take it away. And so he was going to do austerities to meet Narayan because his mother had said, well, you have a big desire there, and who's going to fulfill it except for Narayan? So you should go. But he had no idea who Narayan was or how to worship Narayan, or that actually Narayan was the goal of life and not getting a kingdom greater than his grandfather. And by the mercy of Narada, right, because he met Narada Muni, Narada Muni gave him the mantra by which ultimately Dhruva Maharaj could say, I was looking for broken pieces of glass, but now I found the most valuable jewel. So also, Prabhupada found us who were also looking for broken pieces of glass. And occasionally, as we go through our sojourn, we may occasionally come up with the idea that there's still some pieces of glass that might be valuable to us. They might make us happy. They just might make us feel good. They just might take away something that that is in our way, or that we think is uncomfortable for us. We might want to remove. But Srila Prabhupada, from the very beginning, was telling us this relationship with Krishna, devoid of any other desire except to please Krishna, is actually the key, the thing, the touchstone that will change everything, will change matter to spirit, will change your life. So when we say that I was looking for broken pieces of glass, but by Prabhupada's mercy now, I at least know what I'm looking for. I know it's here. And if it says what we're supposed to do, we hear over and over again what we're supposed to do, what the keys are. Unfortunately for us, it's a little difficult to do it. But still we know now. Prabhupada has given us that quest. And it needs to become an obsession for us. We actually need to become vyavyasikatmika, Buddha here, one-pointed in our determination to find how to achieve this success. Mother Jasoda has achieved it, and Prabhupada points out she was a woman, and Krishna was afraid of her. So we see that many, many people in our disciplic succession, many great sages in our disciplic succession, have come from backgrounds which would be considered undesirable. Haridas Thakur came from a Muslim family. Others, Kulavitra Sridhar, was just a pauper. The Brahmins used to make fun of him. We have that story in Chaitanya Charitamrita of the Brahmin who was reading Bhagavad Gita incorrectly. And the devotees were making fun of him. But Prabhupada found us. Who is less qualified? What is our qualification? I wanted to read you a little verse. It's very interesting. It was just posted to me by a friend the other day. If I could find it. Oh, actually, I wrote it. So it's written here, in hand somewhere. Maybe I didn't bring it, actually. So I can't read it to you. Here it is. It comes from Rupa Goswami's Pajavali. And I thought it was very interesting. Did the hunter named Dharma have any piety? It's McGrory, the one we know as McGrory. Did age disqualify the 5-year-old Dhruva? Did Gajendra, who lived in Trikuta Mountain, possess any learning? Did Mataru's Kubja, the maidservant of Kamsa, have any beauty? Did Sudama Brahman, the friend of Krishna, have any wealth? Did the social status of Vidura disqualify him? Did the prowess Uvugrasena, the king of the Yadus, disqualify him? Madhava was pleased with their devotional service. He is not pleased by material qualifications. So we may not have wealth, we may not have beauty, we may not have any of the Aishwaryas, we may not have Janmaishwarya and Shrutashri, we may not have any of those things, but if we can maintain this qualification of looking for Krishna, just wanting to find Krishna, then Krishna will accept us. Prabhupada has guaranteed that. He's told us that. That we just have to keep looking for Krishna. We have to keep wanting to serve Krishna. We have to render devotional service. Because devotional service is so powerful that by doing, just by engaging in devotional service, by hearing, by chanting, by remembering, by having kirtan, by so many different 9 processes of devotional service, if we do any of those activities of devotional service with a desire to know Krishna, then Krishna will reciprocate. In the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti-rasamrita Sindhu, the 6 qualities of pure devotional service or devotional service are enunciated. And one of them is Sri Krishna Karshani. Sri Krishna Karshani means that it attracts Krishna. It puts Krishna under control. So, as Prabhupada points out here, putting Krishna under control is apparently something which is extremely difficult to do. It's something that many people try to do. Great yogis try to do it. They meditate for thousands of years. We see even in our scriptures, great sages meditating for thousands of years, and still they don't put Krishna under control. They don't get pure devotional service. Because pure devotional service is another quality, is it's very rarely achieved. And why is it rarely achieved? Because it puts Krishna under control. And we don't give control of ourselves easily. We have to be very confident that the person to whom we're giving that control is qualified to receive it. Krishna was so pleased with Mother Jasoda's unalloyed devotion that he was willing to be her child. And it's pointed out in other places that Krishna wasn't pretending to be afraid, he was actually afraid. He got so into the lila, the pastime with Mother Jasoda, that he actually was her child. He wasn't acting like her child, he wasn't pretending to be her child, he wasn't going through the motion of being her child, he was actually her child. And he manifested all the emotional experience, all the feelings, the loss, all that was real for him in his relationship with Mother Jasoda. And in that relationship with Mother Jasoda, amongst other relationships as well, he teaches us and she teaches us how we can be confident that with very simple, not complicated, we don't need wealth, we don't need all these other things, all we need is that unalloyed devotion. And how do we get that unalloyed devotion? Well, the other thing under Krishna, Sri Krishna Karshani, is that Krishna rarely gives it because it puts him under control, and it can only be achieved by association with a pure devotee. That's the only way. Because Krishna doesn't accept unknown visitors. He likes to have you introduced. He likes to have you brought into his fold by someone who already has shown that they have a loving relationship with him, that they are servants of Krishna par excellence. And because of their attitude of service to Krishna, Krishna is willing to accept their recommendation. We see, even when we're applying, there's a discussion going on now about initiation and what are the qualifications to get initiated. And can you just walk up to somebody, even if you knew them since you were a child, and say, hey, listen, I want to get initiated. And he just initiates you with no recommendation or no knowledge. He doesn't see you very often, so he doesn't really know you. So what is the system? The system is that you get a recommendation. Prabhupada established that system, right? You do some service somewhere. You prove yourself as a sincere desirer of devotional service, of practice. And then someone who has already been somewhat recognized by the spiritual master recommends you. And on the recommendation, the spiritual master says, okay, I'll initiate you. And you get initiated. So in the same way, or a similar way, we enter into Krishna's pastime by the mercy of the spiritual master. And even more amazing, if there is anything more amazing than that, is that we even know that we want to enter into Krishna's pastimes. Because how would we know? How would we know, growing up in Brooklyn, going to Samuel J. Tilden High School, going to, you know, the University of Buffalo? Whenever I'm in college and I mention to people that I went to the University of Buffalo, they're always astonished that there could be any educational institute in a place called Buffalo. Because Buffaloes are not like famous for their intelligence. But there I was in this funny place, this weird institution, where 99.9% of the people are looking for everything but Krishna. What to speak of Mother Jasoda tying Krishna in a rope and relishing the curls and his bimba fruit lips, and you know how the flowers are falling from her hair, and how she's tying him with one rope after another, after another, after another, and the rope is still 2 inches too short. Do they even know that Krishna exists? That God exists? That God is a person? And that God is a blue boy? That there's so many amazing things that Prabhupada has somehow come into our lives, came into my life, has come into your life, and has kind of diverted you from the Google world of search for iPods on Amazon and taken you to a totally different realm of search for Krishna in the spiritual world, of search for pure devotional service, even while you're living in this world, which appears to be devoid of spiritual life. How we can see Krishna everywhere. How can we contact Krishna in our daily activities. So this very amazing thing, Kunti was amazed by Mother Jasoda's relationship with Krishna. And so many people have been amazed by Srila Prabhupada's ability to turn hippies into happies, to save us and shave us, as Prabhupada said. I don't know if you know this story, but Rukmini tells the story where she was with Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, I've come to save you, but with his Bengali accent, it came out like shave you, because all the S's are SH's, so he said, come to shave you. So all the devotees started to laugh. So Prabhupada was looking, what is everybody laughing? So someone said, well, Prabhupada, you said you've come to shave us. Then you meant to say you've come to save us. Prabhupada started to laugh, and he said, I've come to save you and shave you. So Prabhupada is not only saving us and shaving us, but he's shaping us also, shaping us into devotees, into devotees who are mad after Krishna, mad after the holy name, mad after devotional service. And for us, that's a debt that we can never repay. So we should be very, very grateful that now we're coming to the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The whole Bhagavatam is designed to bring us to this place where we get to know Krishna in his intimate relationships with his devotees. It's meant to purify us and qualify us so we can get to discuss even, or to speak of understand and relish this relationship with Krishna and his various devotees in intimate exchanges. The whole Bhagavatam is designed, but where would we be in the Bhagavatam without Prabhupada's purports? How would we understand? And would we even have a Bhagavatam? Would we even be able to read the Bhagavatam? Would we even want to read the Bhagavatam? All these things are most amazing. So we should all very humbly offer our respectful obeisances to this most amazing Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada, and be very grateful that we have the privilege of entering into the lila of Mother Jasoda binding Krishna. And I'll stop there and ask if there's any questions maybe I can answer. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Sukhita ji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for a wonderful class. I'm feeling very grateful as a result. I was just thinking about when you're talking about Dhruva and, you know, how his whole quest, because he was so offended by his stepmother, and just that realm of offenses. Now, we offend somebody, we're offended. It almost seems like sometimes it's an offense to be offended. I mean, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, don't get angry at the deliverer of your karma. I understand mm-hmm. that, but still, you know, let's say, so many people harbor, different feelings towards other devotees because of, imagined or actually real wrongs. Mm-hmm. So kind of how to deal with that, how to get over it. And let's even say that somebody is offended, but they even apologize for their offense, but then they're still not forgiven. Like, how does that all work?
Anyone want to give another Bhagavatam class? That's quite a question. How does it all work? Well, the ultimate way it works is that we become purified. Purified of the desire for profit, adoration, and distinction. Because actually offense is born of that pratishta, that seed of pratishta in the heart, the desire for profit, adoration, and who is that person to offend me? So we don't really see it as a deliverer of our karma. And we're not really, when we become offended, it's because we're not really taking responsibility for the fact that we were in that situation due to our own activity. So the process of purification, what they say, a rising tide floats all ships. So when we take up the process of Krishna consciousness and we become purified, that also becomes purified. And what comes to mind is the process of sadachara. Sadachara means proper behavior. It's the codes of behavior, how to relate to somebody. Even if you don't feel it, you do it. Just like Prabhupada originally told Dhammananda, you should offer obeisances to your mother. And he's like, what? my mother, she's meat eating, whatever, But because Prabhupada told him to do it, he did it. In the middle of an apartment building, mother opened the door and there was no one there because Brahmananda was on the floor. And he said, dance, even if you don't feel like dancing. Chant, even if you don't feel like chanting. Bow down, even if you don't feel like bowing down. But there are other sadacharas also, like, you see Yudhisthira and the way he dealt with what would be considered from a distance his arch enemies. Duryodhan, Dhritarashtra, who tried to kill him in so many ways and didn't, in Dhritarashtra's case, didn't fulfill his mandate as his second father to protect him. Instead, he favored his son and was partner in crime to so many bad things. Vidura, who was also very forgiving and very warm towards somebody who offended him in so many ways, two people who offended him in so many ways. How they behaved according to sadachar. They were protected by the rules of behavior. Of course, Vidura and Yudhisthira were pure devotees, so they were really purified of the feeling that you talk about, this feeling of vengeance, the desire for retribution. But someone like Bhima actually felt that desire. Let me go in there. We've been out 13 days. Why should we stay out 13 years? Let's do it now. Let's go in. And because he was protected by sadachara, I should follow my older brother. I should do what he says. That's the proper etiquette. He didn't do, he didn't act on his passionate feeling. And
He did later
when he got permission. He got permission. And so then it was sanctioned. But sadachara protects us. It helps us act in ways that kind of ride over our feelings. And in Kali Yuga, we're not responsible for the karma incurred by our feelings. We're only responsible for the karma accrued by what we do. So that's a great benediction. So if we can control our lower nature and act according to Vaishnava behavior, then we become protected until we become purified. There's no substitute for the ultimate purification of understanding that we get what we deserve, actually not enough. That Krishna actually is mitigating what we deserve. And that understanding eventually has to come with the humility and the purity of pure devotional service. But until it comes, we can avoid creating more messes for ourselves by acting according to proper Vaishnava etiquette. And that's in a nutshell. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Anybody else? Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Agwe Sushila Prabhupada.